Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power. Pearls of Power. My name is Tracy, and I am your speaker for tonight. I am going to continue tonight with part two of our the previous week's message on the Kingdom of God. It's a very interesting subject, but it's the theme of the entire Bible. God wanting us to, Him wanting us to understand and appropriate and apply the principles of the Kingdom of God into our daily lives. That was the whole theme of the Lord Jesus' message when He was here on earth. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist, that was his theme, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is really God in us. Jesus was among them for 30 years. John the Baptist was preaching. He was a forerunner. And the kingdom was right there with them for 30 years already, and they didn't even know it until it was time for the Father to reveal him. But Jesus began to, that was the whole theme of his message. He began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, he's saying, I'm here. Your Messiah, who you've been waiting for, is now here. And if you would just pay attention to his messages in the Bible, he was instructing and teaching his people about the kingdom of God. And many times he would begin his teachings or his parable with, the kingdom of God is like such and such, or is like such and such, because he was trying to get people to understand the will of the Father, the ways of the kingdom, and how to apply what he was teaching into their everyday lives. He made very simple examples. He spoke in parables. He spoke very simple many times because it's not to impress people. The word of God goes forth to get people to try to apply them to their lives. So the goal of the minister is to take some of the complex things of the word of God and break them down as simple as possible so that even a child can understand. Because what we want, the ultimate and the bottom line of what we want is to take those principles and to know clearly and accurately, how can I put this to use in this truth, put this truth to use in my life. So Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues, the Bible says, in Matthew 4:23, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That word gospel is good news, and it is good news. It's great news. It's the best news I ever heard, that there is something better than this, a lot better than this, and that is the kingdom of God. What I want you to understand is there's something about the kingdom of God that Jesus taught us. There's a spirit about the kingdom of God. There's a mentality or a type of spirit. And that's the spirit of the kingdom of God is humility. He says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So the poor in spirit is like, it's another word for being humble or having a servant mentality. He says theirs is the kingdom of God. And that is the spirit of the kingdom. In this lifetime, we seek to be served. In this world, we seek to be served and to be catered to. We have maids and butlers, and we strive for, you know, the best seat and the best home and the best community. And, you know, and really, there's nothing wrong with wanting the finer things in life. However, God wants us to understand that in the kingdom mindset is that we seek to be of service to others. That is the kingdom mind, is that we seek to be of service to others. In Matthew 6:10, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's prayer. And we touched on that last week. That is the will of God. That is the ultimate will of God. That is the binding cord or thread throughout the entire Bible, is God seeking that his will be supreme and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will. Now, what that scripture means is God wants his standard, his way of thinking, his principles, and his guidelines to be in operation in the earth as it is in heaven. The way things are run and done in the spirit realm is God's will for it to be done in this fallen realm. He wants to restore us to the way it was to be in the beginning. His will to be done. Your will is to be done in heaven, and he wants it in full effect. He wants us to live it out in our talking, in our walking, in our eating, in our dressing. All of our decision making is to surround the will of God, his kingdom, and is to come, and his will be done in our individual lives, first and foremost, in our individual lives as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:33 says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and this is very important, and all these things should be added unto you. Now, Jesus is telling them, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to live, blah, blah, blah. Now, all of that is important, but God is saying what is a paramount for the child of God is to seek the kingdom of God, his will and his way, what he wants for you. Seek that first. And that word seek, I looked it up. It's the Greek word zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O, which means you're placing a demand, you're inquiring, you're making efforts, you're making an effort, you're searching, you're striving, you're trying to obtain. So God is saying that you need to search and strive and inquire and place a demand on to make efforts towards knowing what the will of the Lord is and applying that to your life. Now, and so that means you have to make a conscious effort to place, to seek God. It's just not going to happen. You have to make it happen. Now, I know you have your light bill and your rent and you have to work and you have kids got to go to the baseball practice and, you know, you got to do the dishes and the laundry. I understand all of that. I'm there with you. However, God did not make any exceptions for, you know, as a matter of fact, all of these things are important. He knows that, but he should simply say it's to seek first, meaning place priority on knowing my will for your life. Because when you place priority on knowing God's will for your life, the changes are going to happen in your life. You're going to, if you're serious, you're going to align your life with what you learn as you are seeking God. And all of these things that you are worried about, God says, he'll take care of that. It will be, he says, it will be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about that. If you seek me first, the Lord says, do not worry about all this other stuff. That'll take care of itself. Even if you have to get up, you know, a few hours, an hour earlier in the morning, or you have to lose an hour of sleep, you have to make God a priority. Seeking means you have to make him a priority. And I think the problem is that sometimes we don't take God seriously. You know, I think the problem is the Bible says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that word means, that word fear it doesn't mean to walk around, you know, trembling, but it means you take God seriously. I mean, if you really took God seriously, when he told you to do something, or when he tells you to do something, I mean, you're just going to do it. And that's just the bottom line, is do you take him seriously? And a lot of people, the God that they cannot see is the God that they just really don't take seriously. But God entreats us, implores us, commands us to take him seriously. And if we want to see these blessings flowing in our lives, then we have to take him serious and make the necessary adjustments. But he says to draw nigh. Now, we're speaking about the kingdom of God. He says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That's James 4:8. Speaking the kingdom of God requires us to draw in, to inquire and to seek and to look and to search out. So knowing God requires time and communication. It's a back-and-forth thing. It's an openness, and it's an honesty. It's a consistency. When I read that scripture many, many moons ago, I thought, well, why doesn't it say God draw an eye to us, and then we'll draw an eye to him? But I realize now that the problem is not with God. He's already in position for us with arms wide open. God is already in position to bless us, to talk to us, to be there for us. And we're out of alignment with God, and so he's calling us to come closer to him so that we can receive all that he has for us. And what he has for us is wonderful, and what he has for us is beautiful. But he wants us to draw closer, because God is a relationship God. And he wants to talk to us, but he wants God laugh. He's an intelligent being. He has emotions. He's a relationship God. And God created us for intimacy. And he wants us to draw closer to him, but the relationship cannot be one-sided. We have to participate. And so we have to do our part, because he's already done his part. He's always calling us. He's calling us even right now. You're listening to me out there? He's calling you right now. So God, his arms are wide open. It's on our end. The ball is in our court. And he just wants us to yield to that tugging on our heart so that he can bless our lives. So God is God wants that private time with us, and he wants to make the necessary adjustments so that he may make the changes in our lives. When you draw near to God, you're drawing near and you're in his presence, and in that presence, you create a transformation. Is coming about because when you draw near, God begins to talk with you. He begins to talk with you about things, personal things in your life that he wants to make better or that he wants to change. And then at that point, God will give you the grace to make the necessary changes. So when you draw nigh to God, you enter his presence, the communication starts. He starts giving you instructions and giving you grace to make those changes, and that's when the transformation occurs in your life. So the transformation Amen. Is not going to occur outside of you seeking God. So those that are not seeking God, they're not taking their walk with God seriously, those are the carnal Christians that you cannot differentiate them from the world that because no changes are occurring. And because they're not drawing near. You cannot be in the presence of God, constantly be in the presence of God, without being changed. You can't do it. So when God is calling us to come to him, to draw near. The purpose is, okay, here we go. The purpose is, now that you have been born again into the kingdom, now the purpose, the drawing near, is for the kingdom to be placed inside of you. So, and that is the transformation. That is the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. So the bottom line is this: when you're in the kingdom of God, God calls you into the kingdom, and then He calls you to draw near, and then He calls you to make changes. And that is when you start seeing the kingdom of God working on the inside of you. And that is the ultimate goal. The kingdom of God has to first start inside of you. When it starts on the inside of you and the will of God starts working on the inside of you, then other areas of life will begin to change, such as your family and your family and going to church and whatever. Other things will begin to change as the kingdom begins to work on the inside of you. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." There we go again, the will of my Father. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's all about the will of God. It's all about the will of God. The whole problem is, it's man wants to do what they want to do, or Satan wants man to do what he wants him to do and forget God's will. God says over and over again, almost like a broken record, it's my will. My will, my will, my will. And the thing about it, he says, not everyone to me who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. And that's very scary because we have a lot of people that, they have the lingo down, they have the language, they know how to dress like a sheep and smile like a sheep and say amen like a sheep. And they have their name written on their church roster like all of the other sheep. And they may be in the pulpit giving a message, or they may be greeting at the door, or, they may be singing in the choir like a sheep. But Jesus says it is not those that just say with their mouth. He says it's not those that's just saying it or have the appearance of a sheep and says, Lord, Lord, that is going to enter into my kingdom, but who does the will of God, that he that is actually obeying, submitting, and yielding to the will of the Father. Remember I told you that as many are led by the Spirit, not resisting, that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. And God in that great final day is going to make the differentiation between those that are his and those that are not. He calls them, he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. John even breaks it down. You should read John. John really just cuts all the way to the meat of the matter. He says, you'll know that they are the children of God because they obey him. Okay, he doesn't even shuck and jive around. You don't obey him, you're not his child. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect because we're human. We all make mistakes. But a child of God in the kingdom of God should be more oftentimes than not consistently obeying the Father. Okay. I'm not saying we're not going to make any mistakes. The Bible, lets us know when you fall, if you fall, but when you fall, you just get back up. So it's not a matter of us being perfect. It's just a matter of if our heart is in the right place with God. And God knows if it is, and if it is not. God examines if the kingdom of God is inside of you or if you're just about a whole bunch of lip service. Okay? God's children follow him. They seek God's will, and they yield to his spirit. God says, you will know them by their fruit. And that fruit simply means by the life that they live, their lifestyle, their habits, their words, their, everything about them is, you'll know them because you'll know because of the life that they're leading. Matthew 8:11 says, and I say to you, I don't have a lot of time, and I really want to cover something that I just found just absolutely amazing, and that is the Bible says that, well, this is one example that I want to give you, that I want to get you to understand that God is seeking for the Christians to exemplify the kingdom or be an example to the world what the kingdom of God looks like. And the example that I discovered is a very good example is the embassies, the U.S. embassies. We know there are embassies all over the world, okay? The American embassy can be found all over the world. An American embassy is you have a little bit of America in another country. Okay, and in that country, there is a compound. That compound is the American Embassy, where the laws of America apply in that compound, not the laws of the country that it's in, but the laws of that country that it is from. So if you're in another country and you're an American and you get in trouble, you need to try to get to that embassy as quick as possible where the laws of America apply. Okay, so and that's true for all embassies. When you're in that country, in that compound, that's a sovereign territory, and the laws of the country apply from where that embassy is from, not the country that it is in. So when you're in, another country and you're in America and you're on an American embassy, an American compound, you have a little bit of America in another country. That is the concept of the kingdom of God, okay? Where you have the children of God here in this country, but their homes should be a little bit of heaven in this earth and in this realm. When people see your life and how your family and how you operate, it should be an example to them of what the kingdom of God is like. Okay, I hope that helps some people. It should be an example of what the kingdom of God is like. I want to help you to understand in Psalms 128, God talks about there are four spears that it's the whole Psalms 128. He talks about four spears and how he rules his, how he desires to rule in this realm. He says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Everyone. So he desires to bless us individually. Okay, God desires to bless us individually, and in blessing us individually, God inside of us, when God is inside of us, and we infect our family. So he goes on to say, when you eat the labor of your hands, you will be happy and it should be well with you. Your life will be well. Your life will be blessed. He says in verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, which means, okay, he's using wife, but it's husband or wife, meaning not only does he want to bless you, but he wants the kingdom of God to be infiltrated into your family, okay? And when that happens, he says your wife should be like a fruitful vine, meaning your spouse will be the best that they can be. They'll be, change. They will transform as a result of the kingdom of God working and operating in you. And when they witness that, when they see that, your spouse will be blessed. And then he goes on to say, your children, like olive plants, all around your table. And not only will you and your spouse be blessed, but it'll trickle down to your children. Your children will be covered. When the kingdom of God is operating in you, you infect your spouse, but then it affects your children because you're teaching your children the ways of God. You're leading your family according to the will of God as it is outlined in the will of God, and then now your children are blessed, and your children are transformed. It says, behold, thus shall be the man. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. Then he goes on to say he blesses you out of Zion. Now, Zion represents the mountain of Zion. It can represent the temple, the area of Jerusalem, Zion, location, and then it can represent the temple of Zion. He says he'll, which represents, in our dispensation, it represents the church. So not only will your family be blessed, but he says he'll bless you out of Zion. Let me explain that to you. God says he'll bless you out of Zion, and that has many implications. And that means that God not only blesses you individually, but then he'll bless your family, but then God blesses on a corporate level, that of the church. There are certain blessings that you cannot get individually, that there are certain corporate blessings that you get as a body of Christ. When the Lord was in, and I'm going to close this up, when the Lord was in the temple, between the Shekinah, the cherubim and the Shekinah glory was there. That was the concentrated presence of God. And when people came to worship God, they were blessed. Okay? And so there's no such thing as a unchurched Christian. It's not my Father which art in heaven. It's our Father which art in heaven. And God says that he will bless you from out of Zion. He will bless you from which is the church. So God is saying, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And what I'm saying to you is those are four levels that God desires to bless you, and it all begins with you as an individual making the choice to seek God with all of your heart. Now, it's 8:29, so I have to stop. I didn't really get to, you know, expound as much as I wanted to about the church part, but that's okay. We're going to have a detailed teaching on that in the future. But I just want to say that I hope that you have grasped some things. I touched on, I didn't get to touch on everything, but I've touched on quite a few things about the kingdom of God. And I hope you enjoyed it. I want to just extend an invitation to those that are listening out there today. If you don't know God as your personal Savior, if you're not at peace with God, you just open up your heart to God right now. It's as simple as saying this prayer, repeating after me, but you just mean it from your heart. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Write my name in your book of life. You are my Lord. I make you my King. And when you come again, receive me into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to thank you for tuning in to Pearls of Power this evening. Please continue to tune in. I really appreciate those that are listening, and I bless you. And I want to just turn the program back over now to Dr. Hunter. Dr. Hunter, you're there.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, the pearls of power, your great word, the thing that I put down some notes on, notice the four principles. I notice how God used you to build this thing up, level it out, let people walk across it, taste it, see it. But you emphasize that if you want to be a part of this, you must be a part of Jesus Christ. And to me, That is good teaching. That's excellent teaching. If I was greeting you, I would give you an A plus.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. I'll take the A plus.
See, because you make every word you put three words out there, but you come back with different examples. That's what I appreciate. A person that can continue to preach and teach with examples. No, even though you might not be where you're supposed to be in the body of Christ, but you need to be here. You need to do this. And see, sometimes people want to walk close to God, but they need guidance. And that's what you're doing. You're giving guidance to somebody out there that's listening. They may not call you, call in, but they're out there listening. Wow. Amen. Because I wanted to know, to me, now I'm just one person, but I know that you got the word in you. I know you got the words. You have a reservoir of word. And I know that you pull them off you're just so smooth with putting them. Well, I've looked this one a few, you know, looked up two or three times, and you come back and pour it out. See, when you look at the pearls of power, we need to reopen with an attitude every day with the Father. And I like the way I just thank God for what you've done tonight. I pray, God, that somebody listen to you. And we give God the glory. We love God, and we thank God for what you have done and what you have done and said tonight.
Amen.
Amen. But we don't know the person coming, but I got some information, and I'll send you some. It says, now here's a question I just want to ask. Somebody sent me and said, what should a Christian do? What should a Christian wife do if her husband hardly wants to be intimate with her? Wow. These are the kind of questions I'm getting there. And maybe you can help me phone to later on. But I think some men have lost their guzu. I said they lost their guzu. Every man has to realize they're not as young as they used to be. Every old man is not as old as he should be. But every man should realize his position in a marriage and recognize what he's supposed to do. Because the wife is the one that can help when they don't let nobody. If she is appointed to you by God, according to the covenant you made, the two of you, with life to us, death apart. And I know sometimes we find people in society that want what they want. They see somebody. Everything. A chicken is a chicken. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
A pig is a pig. Ain't no different than a pig is a pig is a pig. A deer is a deer. Ain't no different because looking for something else better than what you think, it ain't going to happen.
Yes.
As it was said, been there, done that. See, next thing you know, go down the road, you think you got something, and you're out with a skunk. Amen, somebody. And the worst thing in the world, a woman is a skunk. And you know what a skunk is, man. You know what a skunk is. Got all musk and no muscles. Amen. And that's what Mama used to say when she's coming up. She said, "You gonna be a skunk? Or you gonna be a man today? Muscle man? I'll be a muscle man." Go take your bed. See, I say this with love and kindness to the people that are listening to us, because there are a lot of people that are hearing what you're saying, and I'm noticing that a lot of the people don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear.
Unfortunately,
I've had some people. They said to me, "Do you believe in baptism? Do you believe in it, Tracy?"
Yes, I do. Jesus was baptized.
Did what?
Well, Jesus was baptized, you know.
Yeah.
That's he's our example. That's the first, you know, that's the first and foremost reason. John baptized the Lord Jesus. You know, so.
But you know,
he says,
amen.
Amen.
He says, go ye into our world and teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. He told us to baptize them. Jesus, our Lord, our leader, told us to baptize. So, you know.
Well, I've asked a lot of preachers from time to time, do y'all still believe in baptism? Yeah, but we don't have no pool. Do you need a pool at the church for y'all to have a baptism?
Look, you know, I can't remember his name, but the disciple that baptized the Ethiopian in the you know, in the nearest piece of water he could find. Philip Thomas, they baptized him. The Ethiopian, he was reading out of Isaiah, and he wanted to be baptized. You know, I mean, God doesn't really designate where we should baptize. He just says, go ye. He says, baptize them. So, I mean, I think that's an excuse, because I've seen people baptized in pools outside. I've seen them blow up pools. You know, I've seen them baptized in tubs. And I don't really think where you baptize them is the issue. God just wants them to be baptized. And that's just my personal.
Well, I know. I understand what you're saying. Can I put my foot on it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. See, when Jesus was baptized, when we go back and look at the scripture, they were baptized in their mother's womb, men, not Jesus, men, for 140 some odd days. We stayed in dark water. The apostles were written up in the book of Psalms. For that long, I stayed in my mother's womb. It was nothing but dark water. Then when we came out of that into this light, we were baptized with this water we got. And what happened in society, when Jesus was baptized, he said, suffer it to be so. Because John was baptizing, and in my study, it says he was taking them under and bringing them up. So go to the scripture, it says to be buried with him, to be baptized with him. The same, so we're going to be buried with him, got to be covered up, but not for so long. And to be baptized, and I tell everybody, I'm not trying to convince somebody, but I know everybody ought to get baptized. If any more, just sprinkle the water on yourself right as long as you get baptized. Because the church nowadays, we're looking at a certain amount of people that want to do what they want to do and not what they should do. Amen?
That's right, but they're going to answer to that. I mean, that's what I said. People not taking God serious. You don't deviate.
There you go. That's what I want to bring you back to.
And do your own thing. You don't. That's a renegade Christian. That's another thing that I wanted to teach on. I didn't get a chance to teach on it. But that's a renegade rebel. That's a rebel Christian.
Yeah.
So, and God is not going to have that in His kingdom. Now, you think you're getting away with it, but you're gonna have to answer to that. In the kingdom of God, can I just give this 2-minute example about that, Dr. Hunter? People doing what they want to do. The example that I came up with when I was in study the other night was cancer, okay? Cancer is simply cells in your body that have gone crazy, okay? They're doing their own thing. They're traveling all over your body, which is a medical term, is metastasis. And if this keeps up, they're growing out of control. They're falling out of alignment. They've fallen out of rank and file. They're growing and growing and growing and spreading all over your body. If not taken care of, if not handled by, you know, chemotherapy, operations, whatever, radiation, if that is not handled, the whole body is going to shut down. okay? And we are the body of Christ, okay? And God has given us all assignments and orders, and his law, his words are laid out from the top to the bottom, from the head of the church to the street sweeper. And when you have people in the body falling out of alignment of what the king has said to do, falling out of order on what he said to do, those are, you know, I hate to call them, but they're likened to cancerous cells. They're deadly, and if not taken care of, it could destroy the whole body that is in that particular church. It could just ruin it. And God,
you're going to answer God for that.
You're going to answer. I just had to give that example. Right. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, I got a lady coming on with us right now. If you give us a few minutes, just hang on with us. Sonia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. That was good.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Well,
amen.
Well, amen.
And amen. Amen. That was good right there.
Yeah. You like what we're not going to do? Yes.
I didn't catch it all, but... That was a blessing right there, what I did catch. And that's just the bottom line.
We were talking about people and seeing those saying people that don't realize they don't want to follow God's rule, but want to follow their rules. When they end up wrong, they got some issues. And then when they can't get it satisfied, they want to blame somebody. And we can't blame God for nothing, because God has made a provision for us. Cancer can be conquered if it's treated right.
Amen.
It can be
Amen.
Hiccups can be treated right. If you find something wrong early, you can take care of it. If you don't want to do what you're supposed to do, it's not nobody's fault but mine. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That renegade Christian sound like somebody that has a blatant disrespect for the throne of God. Because if you out there rolling around like that, you know, you are not even accountable to God. And, you know, whatever you are doing, you like that cancer. You are very dangerous. And it's even working against what the body is set up for.
Amen.
You know, it's a destructive force inside the body. And to everybody you come in contact with, you know, we should be a blessing to everybody we come in contact with, you know, because he called us to go into all the world to preach the gospel. So all the world is everybody we come in contact with. So here we
Amen.
Go. We out here, renegade Christian, a cancer, and calling out and putting that label of Christian on our head, and everybody that see us like, I don't want to be that. Or in a relationship with that. I don't want to be that because, you know, you don't see no fruit of the Spirit. You don't see a person that's operating in the nature of Christ. Because, see, Christ has a nature, you know, to be in Christ. You know, we can say that real easy, but let me see your fruit if you in Christ. If you in Christ, you looking like Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And y'all got me all off course on what I wanted, the way I wanted to go, but this is a beautiful course because the fruit of the Spirit is how we should be looking, you know.
Well,
and if it's not in that line of that fruit, something is wrong. And you need to get your chemotherapy out, which is our word of God, you know.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
When we live in this world we live in today, I was just reading an article about in Israel. They talk about abortion, and America talk about abortion. And I began to read this information. I said, "Wait a minute! How can Israelites say that they have abortions over there, but yet America have abortions, and both nations are doing wrong? It's not right before God. It's not right."
No, it's murder.
It's
murder.
It's murder. So I said the baby's mouth never was able to cry, since the paps. I said, "But what's wrong?" And it's written down. And, I mean, the person sent it to me from Israel.
I said, what in the world is going on? What is happening? Jesus, as you said earlier, Tracy, if you don't have the four marks of a Christian that what God wants, you need to go back to the river. You need to go back to the river. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let me ask this question then, since I got both of y'all online. We're on the right path here. How do we help somebody who has cancer? How do we help somebody?
How do we help
them? Ma'am?
Well, you know, when somebody is sick, I'm going to jump in, Tracy. You can get in, jump in wherever you want to. But, you know, when somebody is sick, it's just like when we are sinners. You know, unless we come to God and confess our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, you're talking about this renegade Christian in a church. This is a person that knows the word and wants to do what they want to do. They have to come to the point of confessing their sin because they're under self-deception. They lying and they believe in that lie. They got a whole picture developed. And as you know, as we confront them with whatever the issue may be, you know, whatever is going on, but if they won't come to the point of confession, you know, confessing their sins and saying, you know, just coming clean, you can't do nothing with that type of person. That's my take, because there was a Christian in the book of, is it Corinthians? And they were having a problem with him in the church. I don't know if I'm quoting this correctly. I think it was dealing with some type of issue, sexual sin within the family. And they brought it to his attention. Am I in there somewhere? Y'all know what I'm talking about? But unless that person is ready to come clean about that, you know, what can you do? That's how the renegade Christian can jump out of that renegade or cancerous status, by repenting. You know, making a change, turning around from that way. You know, we've got to turn from our wicked ways.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, you can't do nothing with a person that's not ready to repent. You know, that's even with salvation. If people are not ready to call on Jesus, and repent, they really want to stay in the state that they're in. You know, once you preach the gospel to them, and a Christian that's going in the wrong direction, once that is brought to their attention, they have a decision to make. They either continue or repent.
Amen.
You know, we have that decision to make every day. We can overlook the junk that we do and just go on, or we can deal with it before God. And that's what
Amen.
He's looking at us, to come back to him, you know, and to deal with it and come clean. He's not looking at us to sweep this stuff under the rug and it's okay. You know, it's not okay. You know, where I came in on the line, that's exactly what you were talking about. Now, you let these cancer cells go unchecked, and what's going to happen? We're going to have a complete shutdown. It's just a matter of time,
Amen.
Isn't it? That's what I think, Tracy. What you got?
Well, you know, Galatians 6, but there's a lot in the scripture that speaks about the Christians knowingly, doing what they want to do and transgressing against God. But it says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Paul gives us, different instructions on how we should approach him. We should approach that person one-on-one. If they don't hear, then we get some reinforcement, you know, some elders or someone, some more, you know, people trying to correct that person without humiliating them. But if your one-on-one doesn't seem to get it, in a spirit of love and meekness, because, you know, he tells us, you know, make sure you consider yourself, because, you know, at any time you could go that direction. But if what you say, your conversation doesn't seem to help, and then you bring in a few more people, not, and if that doesn't help, then, you know, you bring them before the church, and if that doesn't help, you have to, you know, just wash your hands of that person, because they don't want to change. So the Bible, you know, is clear on how we should go forward in approaching someone that is out of order and out of line. And,
very clear.
And, it shouldn't be ignored, because that is a perfect example of cancer. It could spread, and you could take other Christians along with you, those that are babies, those that are new to the faith, those that are ignorant, or for whatever reason, those that are just weak. You can take them down that wrong path with you and cause them to stumble and fall. And, you know, so, yeah, it has to be addressed. But, you know, sometimes many Christians just kind of turn their eyes or turn their head the other direction.
Well, you know what, that's what happens most of the time, because we don't want to be bothered with that. We don't hold each other accountable.
Yes.
The accountability seems to be not around nowadays.
No, because people don't want to be told what to do. They look at it as, you're trying to tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to run my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, God is.
You have
right.
The absence of accountability. Yeah, you got a new life.
You have that level of accountability.
Yeah.
That's right. And you have to submit, and that's the problem. People don't want to be told what to do. But in the kingdom of God, you know, you're going to be told what to do. There is rank, there is order, there is hierarchy, and you have to submit. And therein lies a big problem. People don't want to be told what to do. You know, they don't want you to touch those sensitive areas. They don't want you to correct them on anything. And, of course, I reemphasize it. It must be done in love. It must be done in love, because God doesn't want you to rip anyone to shreds, you know. But it has to be done prayerfully, and it has to be done in love, but it has to be done.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know one thing I found out—the first church I had. Can I share testimony with y'all?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. The first church I had, I was a young man in 1970. It was called St. John Baptist Church, and I was sent to that church to bring that church up with a standard of learning the Bible. Script for script, learning the four Gospels, learning the King James Version, learning about the Romans, 2 Corinthians, all through the Bible. I stayed there for almost 1 year, but the people said they didn't call me, that I was sent to them. I said, what? I said, y'all called me to be your pastor. Well, you ain't preaching what we want to hear. You ain't preaching what we want to hear. So I said, what do y'all want to hear? I said, tell me so I can see what I can do. Well, we just want you to preach what we want to hear. I said, what do y'all want me to preach? I never get that answer solidified. I never could get that answer. And all my life, it kind of pondered me. And I said, the reason why some people, because you know so much of the word, some people don't want to hear what you got to say, because the word is going to burn, it's going to bite, it's going to chew.
And bite. Yes.
And so,
yeah, it's going to burn and bite. It's going to burn and bite.
And so the second church.
It's just the way you said it. Yeah, but it's true.
Ma'am.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And see, the second church I had was in, the second church was in the late 80s. It was called Wellborn Baptist Church. Down there in the Texas A&M.
I'm about 40 miles from my hometown in Bryan. I've been there now for 5 years, raising people up with 100. They had 100, they had about 80-some people, raised up to 500 people off and on. Had a radio ministry. Had it going into the community. The deacons, now listen now, I love them. Told them I'm going to tell the truth. The deacons told me, we want a man not come talk about the Holy Ghost. They told me, said we got our rabbit foot. They got our spells. I said, well, y'all in the wrong ship. I said, what we need to do is bust this ship up and let it just float to the bottom with y'all in it. You can't do that to the church. Well, after being there for 5 years, I came in one Sunday. I caught the deacon stealing money of the church because I was tired. I was a heavy tither. I said, where is the money going? I said, Lord, who taking the money? I never could find that because I was making a lot of money back then. But I put it in there. So I said, this is what I'm going to do. They did the military. I'm going to mark this money. I'm going to find what it is. I'm going to find this sniper. And when I find him, it's going to be a bang on him. Come to find out one Sunday, after I done put a 50, 100, 200 in there, I busted. I said, anybody got change for 100? The deacon said, yeah, Pastor, I got change for 50. I said, this brother's going to let me find out what he's doing. And the money was marked. Yeah. It was marked. So I called the deacon. I said, can I have a meeting with y'all the next time? I said, well, I kept that $100. Next Sunday, the same thing. Same rascal. I call him in there. I said, brothers, I said, we got an issue in here. I hate to be in the midst of a thief. Ain't nobody stealing nothing, Reverend. It's just you. Just making a lot of nonsense. But you know what I did? I told him one Sunday. I said, well, I tell you what. I'm going to make an announcement to the church about what I've done. Y'all need to get another pastor. I walked out there after 5 years being at pulpit and told the church that the pulpit is vacant for a pastor. Mm. And not so much I want to see my prayers come to pass, but do you know out of all that land, over 15 acres, the people in Weber, Texas came and took the land, the church burned down. Burned down. When you bother somebody, this is proof. I'm a witness. I was there. Do not bother what God has have you doing, Tracy. I'm not going to do it. I know God got his hand in you because he says, touch not my anointed, Sonia. He said, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. A lot of people don't understand that today. The word of God is still true.
They don't care. Ah. 2 Timothy 4:3 says,
they don't care.
They don't care.
The issue is, what do you say about it, Sonia?
Yeah, I agree with you. you see folks operating like God doesn't exist. And I always say something in French like, and it goes like this, that God see all the time and he don't sleep.
Yes.
And people act like he does not exist. And that's what they live in.
They don't take him seriously.
You know, you can just look at the, you can read the articles in the newspaper. You can look at people, how they're operating right before you on your job. You can see the blatant abuses that people are doing. They act like God is not, he's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And God is dead, and there is no God, and it's everywhere. But we know that our God lives, and we know that God sees everything. We know that he's omniscient, he is omnipresent, and we know that there is a judgment day.
Yes.
And we know.
And you know what? We know. What blesses my heart to have you, sisters,
and brothers on the radio line are with me, because it brings me to a point of understanding. As Paul said, I have not yet apprehended, but this one thing I do is I press toward the calling. I mark for high calling. And I say to everyone on the radio and the listeners behind the scenes, God has called us to do a great work. He wants that work done in those believers. And God said, no evil shall befall thee or come near thy dwelling place. As long as we obey God and do what God wants, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Because, okay, as I wake up in the morning, who sees that dove out there? God does. Who feeds that sparrow? God does. He don't even toil nor labor. Perfect example. And God is looking for the human spaces that he created. And all of us, I say to us who are on the radio line with us tonight, to keep our faith in God, to keep our activity in God, because God is doing something in the body of Christ. And stay patient. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a rush. Like the old lady used to say when I was a young boy, ain't no sense in running to the line. The food going to be when I get there. So ain't no sense us running somewhere, because God already established what he's going to do for us. And I know tonight we've had a great night. We watched God talk to us. And amen. Sonia, you want to come in with your lesson later on? Come on back next Monday night or what? It's up to you.
Yes, fine. I can come on back next Monday night with my lesson.
Okay.
That's right on time.
Amen. Well, I just want to say this to Sonia. God bless you. I tell everybody about the testimony that I had with you coming out of Texarkana, Texas, and how God instructed me to stay in prayer and watch over you till you got to your destination.
Praise the Lord.
And it blessed me, it blessed me, it blessed me, it blessed me. Amen.
Amen.
It blessed me. And then when I called, reached out to the believers and sent the word concerning my grandson, and my nephew, brother, whose liver was just shot, liver gone, but much prayer. For the last 4 days, I have not been able to leave this house. And I told my wife, I said, baby, God has not permitted me to leave. He has not permitted me to leave the house. She said, well, I said, he hasn't. When he permits me, I'll tell you. But God said, in your obedience, you're under my rule. And I've watched God do something through the prayers of those who prayed with me. My nephew is living. His liver is 100%. And he's doing 100% better.
Thank you, Lord.
It ain't about me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
It ain't about me. It's about us. We in this same ship together.
Thank you.
We in this same ship. And we can make a move like never before. I'm not going to let anybody talk about you. They talk about you. So you must talk about somebody else. I don't know that lady. I'll tell them quick. You know, like a rooster, he wants to crack a little less. Pow! Hey, don't you shoot that rooster and make it too much noise? I have so much joy in the Lord, but I want you to know today was a day that when I just sit today and watch what God has done. And I say this, I say, well, Lord, I thank you for everything, for the believers, and I will never let anybody bother hurt you if I know you. I will never. And I pray for you. And also, I may say there's a lady. Now, this is God's doing, not mine. But I'm telling you, because it'll build us up. A lady in Kentucky. Another lady I know her. Lady asked me, been praying for the last couple of months. I said, well, I don't want to do that. She ought to call my wife and talk to my wife and let my wife pray for her.
And so I just said, Lord, I said, what do you want to do about this? It just put it in the background, kept on praying. The lady called me again. She said, I called a lady in Kentucky and said that you can call her and pray for her. I said, Lord, I don't even know what to say. Sometimes when you don't have nothing to say, if you let God say the words, and it's a testimony to the body of Christ, when I called and said, lady, I don't know you, but I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to believe God, whatever you need. But you see, sometimes when God, I'm under the yes, Lord, sometimes when God has you under the anointing, he allows you to see things and do things. And God me had to first tell her, say, you have messed in the dark side in the time past. She said, who told you that? I said, God told me in the time past. She come on confessing and tell me, and so I begin to pray for her. I begin to see the anointing. I begin to see the Holy Ghost of fire come upon her. And so she, after I finished, I couldn't even finish praying for her because the power of God was hitting over the phone from Houston to Kentucky. And she slept for the last 3 days. She been sleeping peace that night. And she called the other sister and told me, she said, honey, what did you do to that lady? I said, I didn't do nothing. I don't have no power. I just believe. Just believe. And that's what God wants us to do.
Yes.
I mean, you know, with all of this and that, because I know what I know what God can do. And see, the more, and see, my prayer was, Lord, if I can't bear the burden, I've got to live it. And sometimes in your family, there are people you love that, you know, they ain't going nowhere but 2,000. You know that. But we got to pray for them. We got to pray for them. Because if we don't pray for them, who else is going to pray for them?
Amen.
Amen. See, because I come out of somewhere, the McCoys, they came out and had 4,000 acres of land. But now we got a zero acres. And I went and asked all my aunties and uncles, what happened? Well, every time one would get in trouble, they'd have to go and say, we'd get him out of jail, they'd have to get this money. I said, no, it's a setup of the enemy. The enemy knew what we had, but because Grandpa McCoy couldn't tell everybody what needed to be done because they were too busy drinking and smoking. Back then, they were smoking the stick, you know. They didn't call it double. They were smoking the stick. But I just come to find out. I said, you mean out here? Yeah. But I look at another family that I live in. It's called the King of God and the King of Kingdoms. And I want you all to know this much, the faith, the attitude, the persistence that we have in Jesus Christ, he will do it for us. And I'm here to tell you, God's going to raise us up like we have never been before. And I will share this with you. If you've never seen an angel pass by you, you will see one because I can tell you, I see angels every now and then because God said he sent his angels to watch over us. When you read the book, you find he sent his angels to watch over us. And they're there because we got work to do. How much time we have, we don't know. When, we don't know. I just had a friend of mine who was 80-some years old. About 3 days ago, he left the church. Going on in. And I tell everybody, I says, I don't know when now is going to come, but I want to be right. I want to be right. Am I going to die? Nah. I shall live and not die and declare the works of God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
And then what blessed me so, what blessed me so, I watched a man last night who said he was a young man, but he's 104 years old now, and he didn't know what he could do from Czechoslovakia. He knew what Hitler was doing. taking all those people and killing them and getting them out of there. And he asked God what he wants to do. God said, do what's best. That man set up a thing he had. God has put some money in his hand. And he he's still living, 104 years old. He said, but and they showed him he got 60,000 people out of check, young people. Now, from generation to generation, the way it is now, they had the people that stand up who was rescued by him. He stood up and he bowed and said, praise God. That's what it's all about. If God gives you an assignment, do it. If God gives you an assignment, do it. Because God has the fineness in his hands. Tracy, would you lead us in prayer as we close out tonight?
Yes. Father, I thank you for the time that we have come together surrounding your word, learning your ways, Most High God, learning more about you. I pray, Most High God, that the words have not fell on deaf ears, but that the seed of this word will be planted deeply in the hearts of the hearers, that it will take root, and that it will bear much fruit. And I just thank you, Lord. I pray, Most High God, that we will continue to grow, that we will fall in love with you more and more. Bless every hearer tonight and their families that are represented, Most High God, with prosperity, with strong, with the peace of God. I pray that this ministry will grow, Most High God, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, that those that are at the foundation, at the start of this ministry, Lord, will remain faithful. And I just pray, Most High God, that you will continue to add to this ministry faithful men and women of God that will carry this vision forward that you have placed in the heart of the man of God, Dr. Hunter. In Jesus' name I pray until we meet again that you will bless us and keep us. Until we meet again, may you continue to have your face to shine upon us and bless us in mind, body, soul, and spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name I thank you for answering and hearing prayers. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Until such time the Lord bless us, keep us. May he cause his sun to shine upon us. We'll meet y'all on the other side. The peace of God be with you. Amen.
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 D63H03 Healing Scriptures.
From Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, mixed straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30, 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33, 6, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the third verse, and then the ninth verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus 20:12, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29:28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5:26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10, the days of our years are 70, that by reason of strength they be 80. The 91st Psalm, verses 10-16, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saith, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water him? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue of Bethesda, having 5 porches. In the east lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, and broken in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things are beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you'll ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to them. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you holy men. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest, to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John 1:1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin read, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast in profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, reading the entire chapter. And then Galatians 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. And thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore body that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, shalt gather but little in, from the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which I was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse and reading the whole chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched ye that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee till thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, there are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness. Thank you.
this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Picture it clear as day. What color were the walls?
You know, if 10 years I've been in prison, but they tell me to take a pay cut. So I decided they don't get paid rate. That's why $15,000 was Brussels.
Thank you.